Good to be with you and to see all your beautiful faces. You don't realize, because you're not 70 yet, how beautiful you are. So maybe today sometime look in the mirror and just be glad for your gorgeous hair and skin. I'd like to start, prayer is such a big topic, and really it used to be a category in my life, and now it's my life. And so when Christina said, "Can you talk about prayer?" I thought, well, I can, but can I stop talking about prayer? And so today, of course, in a half an hour, we can't really go too far with what is prayer. But I hope we'll touch on a few things that will intrigue and perhaps free us from things that deter us from prayer. Because really, and I think it was referenced either in your questions or at my table, it really is simply keeping company with God in as many creative ways as God is creative. And I wonder how many of you, when you hear somebody's going to stand up and talk to you for half an hour about prayer, how many of you think, oh, rats, you know, it's like, how many times did you work out this week? And that's a pretty normal thing. We just have a sense of, well, it's a should, right? I really should pray. I know I should pray more than I do pray, but the truth is, I'm tired, or as my friend says, I don't wanna. That's a big one. I don't know how, and frankly, I don't think it works. I meet with a lot of people now. I'm always surprised when I hear my bio, because I don't do anything anymore except spiritual direction. But in spiritual direction, it's a space where you can really say what's going on inside, not what should be going on, but what is going on. And often when it comes to prayer, which is the whole deal in spiritual direction, there are a lot of reasons that we keep our distance. And I think one of the big ones is, who am I coming to? Who am I, if I'm going to pray, instead of vacuum when I have 15 minutes when the kids are asleep in the afternoon, who am I coming to? So I just invite you to take a minute and think of someone in your life who has just loved your socks off. You can't, they see your faults, they're not blind, but they never give up on you. Two people come to mind readily for me. One is my dad. No matter what I did, and I went off the rails a few times, he was just always there. Just always loving me. And then my friend Shannon does the same. Even when I've been a really ratty friend, she looks beyond. She looks for my beauty. And she treasures me. So I'd ask you just to take a minute. You might even want to close your eyes. Who is that person for you? The person who really has your back. Who just loves you no matter what kind of ugliness you might bring to the table on any given day. And then imagine that God sees you that way. Imagine he's not waiting for you to trip up or apologize. He's just waiting for you. In his amazing humility, he goes so far as to compare himself in scripture to a nursing mother. And most of us in this room either have been that, will be that, or are that. And I just spent a week with my daughter, and actually the only thing wrong in my bio that I do still, and I do still do this, is grandparenting, and now it's number 9. So I was just living with them for a week, and Jess is nursing. and she knows every peep that child makes. In all the chaos of the other kids, he's sheltered. She knows what cry means what. She texts me pictures of him all the time, even though I can't do anything. She delights in every little thing about him. And she would give her life for this little person who ruined her figure and is ruining her sleep. So again, I'd invite you to close your eyes, and I just want to say to us words that God says to us in Isaiah. And the preface to this is, he says to Israel, you say that I've forgotten you. Can a nursing mother forget the child at her breast and fail to have compassion on the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will never forget you. Let those words sink deeply into your soul. And I'm going to say them a few more times. Can a nursing mother forget the child at her breast and fail to have compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I'll never forget you. Can a nursing mother forget the child at her breast and fail to have compassion on the daughter of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will never forget you. Imagine you're that nursing child. God is like my daughter, always attentive to this child, always wanting his good, always protecting him, hoping for him. That's the God we come to in prayer. And in fact, speaking of prayer, what we just did has a fancy Latin name, and it's called Lectio Divina. And it just means sacred hearing, praying. So when we pray with scripture, I think often we think, oh, I don't know where to start, and I've got to get through something. We bring that get it done mentality from our to-do list into the arena of scripture. But really, just taking a couple of lines like that and letting yourself rest with them, not necessarily analyzing or making it work, but simply allowing them to sink deeply in and having those pauses in between. So much about prayer, I'm learning, is restful. And we tend in our culture, and I think our Christian culture is no different, we tend to make it work. One more thing I have to do. But instead, what if it's the one thing that permeates all of life that actually changes all the rest of life? Those few minutes spent in that kind of scripture reading are going to change the way you react to the next tantrum. And often we think, I don't have a big bunch of time. I don't have this. I can't sit there with a journal, and I don't want to anyway, but I can't sit there with a journal and a Bible and so forth because I've got children and I've got busyness. Busyness is good. It's good you're busy. You're not at my stage. You're at your stage, and that's good. Teresa of Avila, who was a saint from centuries past, says, pray as you can, not as you can't. If you have an introverted friend who has no children and prays for 3 hours a day, good for her. That's not you. But you also have 24 hours a day. And so just to keep an eye on what choices you're making when you do have some downtime. And I brought these little, I brought a couple of packets of these if anybody wants one. They're 5 minute timers. And they are a really valuable reminder. God can do a lot in 5 minutes. You think you multitask. You think you can do a lot in 5 minutes. He can do a lot in 5 minutes. And so prayer is all day. Sometimes it's simply that wonderful word, help. And we forget that. We're also in a you can do it and you should be able to do it yourself culture, right? But we shouldn't be able to do it ourselves. When you look at Jesus' life in the Gospels, what does he say all the time? The word he has on his lips all the time is Father, 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 Father. He didn't do anything. He made some startling comments. He said, I don't say a word except the Father tells me to. So how's that for being dependent? So these little 5 minutes can be rest times for you. Sometimes, and you don't have to have a plan. You can just be off duty for a while. I don't know about you, but true confessions, I can remember being so annoyed when it gets to be 4:30 or 5 and the kids would say, Mom, what's for dinner? I'd sometimes feel like, I don't know. Ask somebody else. I'm tired. I can't think of anything. So when we have these little break times to allow ourselves to actually take a break. And this timer, you might even, this sounds really funny, but these things are so basic. You might just turn it over and breathe for 5 minutes. I don't know how much you know about the science of breathing, but when we're stressed, which mostly we are, we don't breathe in a way that's energizing. We breathe in a way that's actually detrimental. So this is not rocket science. You can Google it and there are a million things online, but just to learn some breathing techniques and to sit for 5 minutes, just take a little vacation. These really, prayer really, really is little vacations, little ways of saying, I'm not God. Wow, what a relief. And there's an ancient practice called the breath prayer, where on the inhale you say, you might say the Lord's name, on the exhale something else. So as you inhale, Lord Jesus, as you exhale, have mercy. Whatever the wording is, or no wording, but what we're doing is, at the very basic level, prayer is recognizing that he's here, right? And so it's recognizing this gift of breath that he gives you every single day, whether you're awake or asleep. And it's kind of like his presence, right? Always with us, but we're actually not usually very aware, just like we're not aware of our breath. So we're embodied creatures, so we pray with our bodies. We can pray that through breathing. For many decades, I didn't kneel. The church I was in, you didn't kneel in the services, and I just didn't kneel. I just didn't get why one would. And now, I know why one would, because we're creatures, because we're small, because we're so needy, and because he's so great. So now, every morning, and I do, I want to make clear the traditional sort of quiet time I'm not saying I'm against that. In fact, at 70, I do have plenty of time in the morning to read my Bible and journal. So I don't want that to get lost in this. What I'm trying to talk about is alternative ways of being with God that are just as powerful and often suit our way of this stage of life that you're in. And you see in Jesus's life, he had a pattern of engagement, and wow, when he engaged, we think we're tired. How tired do you have to be to sleep in the stern of a boat in the middle of a huge storm, drenched? So nothing wrong with busyness. Hurrying, not so good. But nothing wrong with having a full, busy life. That's a blessing. And he engaged fully, but then he withdrew. And so what are the times when you can withdraw for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Maybe a hot bath. That's a lovely place to pray, and there's a lock on the bathroom door, which is always a wonderful thing. My grandchildren give me great visuals of prayer. I have one little guy who, he must have been about 4 at this time, and he was at a stage where he wanted to carry everything he owned, and so he came over to our house, and he's carrying, I don't know, a book, a bug box, or whatever he's got, you know, he carries them around because they're his, and his job is to carry them. And that worked okay until the other kids went outside to play, and I walked out with Lee, and he's watching them play, but he's, you know, it's hard to play when you're holding a bug box and a book and a whatever. So I watched him for a while, and then I said, "Hey, Lee, how about you want me to carry that for you?" And it's like, it's mine. The stuff's mine, you know. I'm going to carry it. But then he did hand it to me, and he was free as a bird, and he went running off playing. And I think, wow, isn't that us with the Lord? Always nudging us to let go and let him, since he's a little bigger, carry these things so we don't have to be so worried. Letting go and letting him be who he is. And he said that unless we come as children, we can't enter the kingdom. And so much of prayer life is very childlike. A couple of days ago, I was at my desk, and I can get into this mode of going too fast and checking things off, and you know the mode, which makes me grumpy. And in that state, I made a bad choice. I called my credit card company, and it took me a very long time to get through make-believe people to actually talk to person who actually couldn't speak English very much and didn't know the answer to any of my questions. And I was so annoyed. And I was rude. I mean, I don't know. I was a lot ruder, luckily, on the inside than I was on the outside. But suffice it to say, I was not loving my neighbor. And when I hung up, immediately I thought, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And I got up, speaking of kneeling, I got up and I knelt on my office floor and I said, I'm so sorry, I'm really ashamed of how I acted, and please forgive me. And then they had this flash of make another call, try it again. And I did. I called Cox Cable, which was next on my list, and I made that woman my BFF. But I thought, that's just like watching my daughter send her 4-year-old to the steps, right? Hank, you go sit on the steps, and you can come back when you're ready to behave. So that's what I did. I was ready to behave, so I called Cox Cable. But I'm sounding like I'm joking about this, but actually what happened in that transaction is really important, because I could have carried that through the day. As it was, I was clean. I was like a kid. I was forgiven. I was Hank. I'm up and at 'em again. So that ability to be with him in the day to day, asking him to help me notice, and I do ask him that, help me notice when I go off the rails like that. It might be nighttime before I realize, but I want to know. Another kind of prayer that I think in our culture is underappreciated, or perhaps not known about, is something I call being Nora. She's another of our little grandchildren, and when she was just tiny, I had a chance to be with her by myself, and she's just lying on my breast. I'm on my breast, that little puppy breath, you know. Utterly helpless. And I had this moment of insight that's me. That's me with the Lord. I'm just as small and helpless as this little tiny new person. And I wrote a piece about that, but I thought I would just to let this sink in, I would read to you. I wrote, when I was a child, I had a window air conditioner in my room, and it was cold at night. I couldn't rest till all my stuffed animals were tucked under covers with me safe and warm. This worked well when I was a child with stuffed animals, but it was exhausting in grown-up life, in marriage and parenting, friendships and work. There was always someone or something shivering outside the covers, so there was always one more thing I needed to do before I could rest. If there had been a banner over my life, it would have read, "She tried so hard." Now, finally, I'm learning to rest. I'm learning to let go and let God be God, to let the weight of the world be on the right shoulders. I'm going to interrupt myself because I just had another memory of another grandchild thing, but this is little Charlie, and he was at our house, and it was the whole pack of grandchildren. He was the youngest at the time, and it was just overwhelming to him. He's one and a half, and I looked at him, and I held up my arms, and he let me pick him up, and his whole body just sank into my body. His little arms were dangling, his legs were dangling, his head was on my chest. And it lasted maybe 2 minutes. I just held him. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything brilliant. He didn't ask me for anything. I didn't tell him anything. I just held him. Boy, did I enjoy those 2 minutes. And then he wiggled out of my arms and went scampering off to play. That's prayer. So this way of praying, as I was writing here, is called being Nora. Nora was then our newest grandchild. When she was 3 weeks old, I had the pleasure of being alone with her for a whole hour. She lay on my chest resting. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She just received the comfort of me, and I enjoyed the pleasure of her. Now I practice being Nora. Before my feet hit the ground in the morning and during quiet moments in the workday, and before I fall asleep at night, I rest with God the way Nora rested with me. I rest my smallness in his greatness. I'm off duty. When thoughts and feelings surface, I simply let them go out into him. During those restful being Nora moments, I live in the relief of knowing that in him I live and move and have my being. I don't say anything or do anything. I just enjoy the comfort of God. And audacious as this may sound, I think he enjoys the pleasure of me. And then I tried to capture in words what that feels like for me. Resting for a while from words, from thoughts, from puzzling, from trying, resting in the relief of you, letting go of racing thoughts, of tears and fears, letting them go up and out into your kindness. Last night's dreams surface shyly in the safety and relief of you. I am Nora, small, fragile, helpless, soothed, safe, content, cherished, at home, held, while you, wonder of wonders, enjoy me. And that way of being with God is a way that is a thing that carries over into one's way of being with other people. Not having to try so hard, not having to control things, be center stage. And all this actually doesn't take a whole lot of time. And again, I remember at your stage, you want to get something done, something that someone's not going to rip apart in 5 minutes. Or even if they do, they're asleep, so it's going to last for 2 hours anyway. So I know that pull. But I also know that the goodness of simply allowing yourself to be with God a little bit here and there during the day is getting something done. It's getting the best thing done. It's getting you whole. And the best thing you can do for these kids is get whole, get healthy, get well. I don't know what our time is like.
We should move to discussion. Whenever you're ready.
Whenever I'm ready, meaning I've talked too long, or?
No, you've not talked too long. I would bring it to a close-ish.
Okay. Well, bring it to a close-ish. So really what I would have preferred is to just have tea with each one of you and to hear where you are in your prayer life and to speak person to person. So if any of you, especially if I've raised something that steps on your toes or leaves you thinking, or even if you just enjoy talking a little bit about your prayer life, it would be a pleasure for me, just if you want to have a phone chat or whatever. So thank you.